Good morning and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. I do appreciate your presence. Obviously, we were having some issues. I'm not sure what was going on with the screen. So we're not going to get to all of the passages that I was going to put up there, but the PowerPoint will be put online. If you're interested, you can look online and get additional passages. I want to tell you that I did miss you last week. Bonnie and I were up in Denver, and we're thankful for that opportunity. Really appreciate Rob and Rod covering the sermons last Sunday. I think it's a great blessing that this congregation has, that we have so many men who are able and willing to get up and to present God's Word. That is truly a great thing to have. So this past week, what I want to do this morning is share some of the lessons that I've been looking at this past week. I've been doing a study on the subject of holiness, on this word holy. And one thing that became abundantly clear to me as I studied passage after passage after passage after passage after passage after passage after passage on holiness, holiness matters. That was one thing that just screamed to me as I go through these scriptures. And you look at all the times that God's Word talks about things being holy. And it occurred to me that that may be a concept that this country and perhaps the citizens within it have lost. And that is something that finds its way within the church. We tend to mirror society more than we'd like to, more than we'd like to admit, more than we should. And so I've titled this sermon this morning, Making God Holy Again. And I want to begin by talking about what holiness is. And so let's start off with talking about translations, because the word holiness is translated a whole bunch of different ways in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's translated, and this one's going to shock you, holy. It's translated that way a lot. But then it's also dedicated, sanctified, sanctuary. Same word, same basic concept. We talk about sanctuary. Sanctuary isn't the big room. Sanctuary is a holy, dedicated place, is the concept that is supposed to be there. You look at the word saints, which is really the holy ones. The Catholic Church has messed up the idea of saints. They have made it the Christian Hall of Fame. That is, when a Christian dies after 5 years, we're going to vote on whether they belong as a saint or not. Never the way the Scripture uses it. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, here's what makes up the church. You have the elders, you have the deacons, and then you have the saints. You're the holy ones. But every time you see the word saints in Scriptures, you're supposed to think the holy ones. The word pure, the word set apart. And there are multiple words beyond that. You look at the definition of the word, and it's talking about something that commands respect, something that is awesome. A conversation that Bonnie and I have had recently is that we might use that word too much. Awesome. You had a good breakfast. Oh, that's awesome. That's making the mistake that I'm talking about this morning. When we take something that is truly holy and we make it common, and we take things that are common and refer to them as truly awesome or holy, things that are separated from common use, things that are subject to special treatment, things that, again, are dedicated. And so I started thinking, okay, so how can I describe to you this idea? How can I illustrate to you holiness? And that was a real challenge, because is there anything holy in this country anymore? Does the concept really even exist? It used to be that the flag was holy. In other words, it required different treatment. And I am sure that the people that are in the military are aware of the rules and the laws that exist regarding the proper treatment of the flag. But I guarantee you, I break it, because I have at home in my drawer a t-shirt with a flag on it. That breaks the rules. I put that t-shirt next to my really cool Optimus Prime t-shirt. That's why it breaks the rules. You're not supposed to wear the flag. It's not supposed to be clothes. It's supposed to be special. You're not supposed to let it touch the ground because it's supposed to be special. It's supposed to be holy. It's not to be torn. It's not to be burned, except for if it has been damaged and there are proper ways of disposing of the flag. And so there's all these rules and most of us don't know them because the flag doesn't matter that much anymore. About the closest thing I could think of to where people actually follow the rules is at baseball games or football games with the national anthem. People actually stand up and they put their hand over their heart and they sing along or they stare there. But I've got to tell you, that doesn't really strike me as something where we truly recognize it as holy or special or reverent. We just know that's what you're supposed to do. And the last line, of course, is play ball. Everybody knows that, right? That's not holy. And so we have this real challenge of how can we understand the holiness of God if we don't understand the concept of holiness to begin with? That's not a new problem. The book of Ezekiel just stuck out on the subject of holiness again and again and again in the book of Ezekiel. It's talking about God's sanctuary. It's His holy place. It's talking about the holy things. This morning's reading was from the book of Ezekiel. I want you to look over there, but this time at Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel is written at a time in which God's people have been kicked off of their own land and God's temple is being destroyed and the people are wondering why is all of this happening. And so God sends some prophets. He sends Jeremiah explaining this. He sends Daniel. He sends Ezekiel explaining why all of these things are happening. Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. And they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. One of the things he gets down to, he says, here's what's wrong with you. You don't understand what's holy. And you treat things that are common as holy and things that are holy as common. And so I am kicking you off the land, and I'm destroying my connection with you, which is the temple. In recent years, with the addition of homosexual marriage, I have many friends who don't understand us, who disagree with us in this regard. And one of the things that they say is, how is it that with these other people, if they're allowed to get married, how does that hurt you? How does that really impact you? This is how. It's not my marriage with Bonnie. It is marriage. Something that is given by God. Something that is special and set apart and there's rules for. And we've said others can have it. And we've taken a profane relationship and made it equal to a holy relationship. And thus we have profaned God's word. And God's will. That's how it hurts. Is it takes something holy and it makes it commonplace. In Ezekiel chapter 23, verses 38 through 39. Again, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slaughtered their children for their idols, they entered my sanctuary on the same day to profane it. And lo, thus they did within my house. I want you to understand this. Here, God's saying, you want to know what you did wrong? You made me unholy. You made me profane by worshiping me. That seems a little weird, right? But when you look at it, he's saying, look what you've done. Earlier in the day, you went to this other temple, and it was a horrendous temple, in which you would offer up your children as a sacrifice. And then on the exact same day, you would come over to my temple, and you would worship me. And God said, you've treated me as equal to them, and that makes me profane. I'm not special. I'm not holy. I'm just like them, and they're awful. In your eyes. That's what you've done. You've made me like them. And so we need to make it to where God is separate. Where His things, His ways, His thoughts, His concepts are all higher and different and require a different behavior and a different treatment. We need to understand there's a difference between that which is common and that which is holy. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 25, it says, "It is a trap for a man to say rashly, 'It is holy,' and after the vows to make inquiry." He says, it's a bad thing to make something holy and then find out later on, ask about it afterwards. I didn't understand for a long time. My mom did not like the old Batman. I loved old Batman. You know, the Biff, Bam, Beef. No, Biff, Bam. Okay, I didn't like it that much, apparently. You know which one I'm talking about, though, now, right? My mom didn't like that, and I didn't understand it. It was because of Robin. Robin was always saying, "Holy something, Batman." And what he was doing is he was taking this concept of holiness and making it nothing special, making it really a catchphrase. And there's a problem when we just start calling everything holy. And there's a problem when we don't have anything that's holy. We need to make God holy again. So I'll ask you this question. Is God treated as holy in this country, in this society, and perhaps even within the church and within our homes? I look at it and I say the answer to that, in my own opinion, is no. There is nothing holy anymore. Nothing sacred. Nothing revered. In children's cartoons, you can take the Lord's name in vain. No problem. Nobody bats an eye. As far as movie ratings go, taking the Lord's name in vain, treating God's name like it is nothing, when God in His Word frequently refers to His name alone as holy. And you're not going to get a rating marked down. It's not going to be something where, well, we started off with a G, but they took the Lord's name in vain, so we're going to knock that up to a PG or PG-13 or an R, saying this is something people shouldn't listen to. No, it's just perfectly fine. But even within Christianity, we worship God, but it has become casual and occasional, not special. In which case, one wonders, where is the holiness? And I am fearful as I look through scriptures and I see when holiness becomes a problem, punishment soon follows. So in Ezekiel, I want you to keep looking at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 44. Some circumstances in which they had stopped making God so holy. It was kind of surprising circumstances. Ezekiel 44 and verse 5. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the statutes of the house of the Lord and concerning all its laws, and mark with well the entrance of the house with all exits of the sanctuary. You shall say to the rebellious ones, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, enough of all your abominations, O house of Israel. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to profane it, even my house, when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, for they made my covenant void. This in addition to all your abomination. And you have not kept charge of my holy things yourselves, but have set foreigners to keep charge of my sanctuary." Of all things, he says, here's what you've done. You've outsourced taking care of the temple. You gave it to people that were not holy and righteous in my eyes, because God had made it a covenant, made it a rule in the Old Testament. Only the holy can approach me. You've said others can approach me. Thus, you have made me profane. You have profaned my temple. And this is what you've done. Go back to chapter 43, verses 6 through 9. I'm not really sure when they did this, but it's interesting to me. It says, "Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me. He said to me, 'Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet.'" So he's talking about the temple. This is God's throne and the place of the soles of his feet. "Where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever, and the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their harlotry and by the corpses of their kings when they die, by setting their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost before my doorpost, with only the wall between me and them, And they have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have committed, so I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their harlotry and the corpses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell among them forever. I don't know when this became a practice. I don't recall seeing it anywhere else in Scripture, but it would seem that when the kings died, they put them in the temple or right next to the temple. And he's saying, look what you're doing. That's not treating me as special, not treating me as holy. Now, what they were doing was they were exalting the kings. They were saying, your place is in God's place. Your place is right next to Him. And so in the book of Ezekiel, again and again and again, we see this idea that says, you're not getting the concept of holiness right, therefore you are facing my wrath and my punishment. And so it occurs to me that it is of great importance for us that we once again make God holy again. And I click the button, and the next slide says, and we can't. You know why we can't? Because God's holiness is in no way dependent on us. We cannot make God holy again because God has never lost His holiness. He has and always is and always will be holy. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, we could easily spend the rest of our time just looking at passage after passage after passage that just declares God being holy. But Exodus 15, verse 11, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Majestic in holiness. And then we get to the other end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8 when we get the throne scene. And this has absolutely nothing to do with how righteous the world was or if the whole world had gathered together and decided God was worth dirt. It had no impact on what happens here in Revelation 4 and verse 8 in which the spiritual beings stand before God and they declare, holy, holy, holy. This is who God is. God is holy. He is above. He is a special. He is sanctified, and He must be treated that way. So we don't make God holy. He is holy. And what was read for us in Exodus 36, verses 20 through 23, we won't read it right now, but I encourage you to go back through that, and next time, read it, emphasize every time you see the word holy, and you'll start to see the trend. Holy, holy. God talks about how He is holy and how He will make His name holy once more. And it wasn't up to the people to make themselves holy. He says, you guys are the ones who have made my name profaned. You're the ones who caused people to blaspheme. I'll fix it. I'll do it. And I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for my name, is what he says in Ezekiel 36. So make God holy again? We can't. But what we do need to do is we need to treat God like He is holy again. And you know what? This lesson's really simple. This is it. This is the one point, the one thing I want you to get this morning, just this one concept. I want you to spend time in your days thinking how to treat God as holy. And that impacts the way you talk about God. It should change the way we behave. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, this is one of the first times this particular word for holy shows up. But it's Moses, and there's a burning bush, and God says, take off your sandals, Moses. Why? This ground is holy. Change your behavior, because where you are at is special. So you're going to follow different rules. And so when we talk about making God holy again, what we mean is treating Him as holy, changing the way we treat Him. Treating Him like He is somebody completely different, higher, more noble than anything else. I don't know if you've noticed in this morning's prayer, Gene, I'm going to call you out. I noticed it. Gene in his prayer used these and thous. Now I've talked to Gene, and he does not say thee and thou. How beest thou, Jared? Never heard Gene say that. You know why that happened? Now, I don't know exactly with Gene. I know other people that are that way, and it became a tradition, but some of them understand what the tradition's from. It's because they are trying to show a type of respect for God, that you don't just refer to God as you, but you use a term that is more holy in their mind. Now, I'm not saying that if you're not saying these and thous in your prayers, you're treating God as unholy. But I'm saying the idea that leads to that action is the right idea. That says, God's different. I'm going to change my behavior, whether it's taking off the sandals in the place that I stand or whether it's starting to use these and thous in my prayers. How can we show God that He is holy to us? How can we show it to the world? In John chapter 6 and verse 69, when Peter makes a great confession, in this case, the great confession involves the holiness of Jesus. And so it is declared. It is simply something you declare to others. Or in this case, it is declaring to Jesus Himself. But in John chapter 6, verse 69, Jesus has said to Peter, "Where?" And the others, are you guys going to leave too? All these disciples had walked away. What Jesus was saying was hard. And they say, no, we can't. We have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. We can't treat You like that. We can't treat You that way. Because You are the Holy One of God. In Exodus chapter 19, God tells the people of Israel. Now, if you're really good at math, you'll notice Exodus 19 is right before Exodus 20. Exodus 20 being the Ten Commandments. This is the events that lead right up to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not read by Moses. Moses was in the presence of the people. The Ten Commandments were spoken by God. And at the end of the Ten Commandments, the people fall down and they beg Moses, never let that voice speak to us again. They were terrified of God's voice and His booming nature or something about it because they were convinced they were going to die. Before the reading of the Ten Commandments, God says, go down to them and tell them, get ready. Sanctify yourself. Make yourself holy for what's about to happen. So in Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. So He starts off, He says, make them holy, consecrate them. Let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. If you go down to verse 21, He says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them. So again, He's saying, you guys wash up, get clean, change your behavior, get ready. You're about to meet Me. We need to change our behavior. And so that makes me wonder about our worship. When we gather together and Jesus has told us that where two or three are gathered together, He is in their midst. We come together and we come to worship God. This isn't supposed to be a time of entertainment. It's not supposed to be a time of frivolity, of jokes. This is a time in which we treat our God as holy and we praise Him for all that He is. And we need to make it special. Now, I suppose at this point I could talk about what we wear. And I think we should think about it. Our attire should be in accord with our concept of who God is. That we're coming together to treat God as holy, we probably shouldn't come together like we came to play beach volleyball. It needs to be special. He needs to be special in our mind. But more than what we wear, it's what we do. It's how we live. And we'll talk about that some this afternoon. I'm not going to say that there's no place for comedy either. I've made you laugh a few times this morning. That would be sort of... I'm not good at that. I've done it a few times. That's not the point, though. And that shouldn't be the point. We need to keep sight on the holiness of God. How can we make God holy? If I could just get you to go home and think that question, I'll consider this sermon a success. How can I treat God as holy in my life? I'll add one more thing to this, and that is we can treat God holy by treating God's holy things as holy. In other words, when God says it's holy, treat it as holy. See, this is one of the mistakes that's made in Daniel. In the book of Revelation this morning, we talked about Babylon has fallen, Babylon has fallen. That night that Babylon fell, it fell in one single night, just like this. And I don't think it's coincidence that what's going on at that night is that the king of Babylon has taken the holy things of the temple and used them for his own feast. And that's when they see the handwriting on the wall saying, I have looked at you, I have measured you, and you are toast. That's a very loose paraphrase, but that's the idea. Right? So we don't take the things that God has made holy and treat them as common plates. Have you ever looked at what God calls holy in the New Testament? There's a lot of things. I came up with a list of 13, and that was not complete. There was many more. Again, this would be on the PowerPoint. You could see the scriptures. You can find it online later. But it's the holy church, holy angels, holy covenant, holy prophets, holy scriptures, holy law, holy commandments, holy brethren, holy priesthood, holy nation, holy women, holy apostles, and holy faith. And all of those things we need to treat as holy if we want to treat God as holy. And I want to go back and point out a few things about that. The holy women is talking about the heroes of the Old Testament. It's from 1 Peter chapter 3, and it looks at these Old Testament women and the incredible faith and behavior they had, and he refers to them as the holy women. And I submit to you that the women today who serve like that and behave like them are also holy women. And us men need to treat them that way. They're holy. They are special. The church is referred to as holy, and it is not meant to be something that we say, well, I have no place for the church. It's not important to me. It is indeed the temple of God, and it is holy, and we must treat it that way. The scriptures are to be holy. We are to treat it special. I suppose I could go on, and there are additional things, but I want to just come back to this one thing. One thing I want you to get from this sermon. Go home and think, how can I treat God as holy? Because if we don't get that one concept, we are in trouble. For God is holy, and he expects his people to treat him that way, or they won't be his people for long. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity not to follow just a religion, but the religion. Not just a way, but the way. Not just a God, but the God. We give you an opportunity to have a relationship with the one who has created all things. The one who is truly holy, holy, holy. We give you an opportunity to fix your sins, because they separate you from that God. Jesus came on this earth and died on the cross so that your sins could be washed away, so that you could have a relationship with this God, so that you yourself could be made holy. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to come forward. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, confess that, repent of your sins, and we will have you baptized into Christ this morning. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, you have not lived the way God deserves nor demands of you. And we encourage you to come forward and to change. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?